It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Catholic women's congregation in La Crosse, the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, is marking 175 years of its ministry.
But this milestone comes amid a steep decline among the ranks of nuns and sisters in the United States and questions about women's roles and contributions in the Catholic Church.
Franciscan sister Julia Walsh is on the front lines of this trend as part of the congregation's formation team, helping women make the decision to enter the convent. She hosts the podcast Messy Jesus Business and is out with a spiritual memoir called For Love of the Broken Body. Sister Julia, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
So what is a nun, really? A nun is actually a contemplative woman who's away in a monastery living a life of prayer and labor for the sake of all of us. As they pray and they work, they are serving us through their devotion. A sister, however, is what I technically am. And a sister is someone like me who's out in the world blending in, oftentimes wearing typical clothing, although simple and a little out of style. Okay.
Making podcasts, you know, things
right,
like that.
You know, exactly. We just blend in. We love and serve God and God's people and are present to people on the margins. And are hopefully proclaiming the good news and helping people to know God's love just by being there with them, right? And not necessarily always preaching, but through our presence. For example, when I go to jail and I pray with people there, sometimes they don't understand that I'm a Catholic sister, a Franciscan. They just think, oh, look at this nice Christian lady who came to visit. And that's good enough for me. My identity doesn't need to be known by the people that are encountering me. And hopefully they encounter Christ when they encounter me, because I'm committed to trying to bring Christ's light everywhere I go.
You write that in 1965, congregation membership of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, that it peaked at about 1,100 members. Today, less than 200 sisters serve worldwide, and mainly here in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. What do you make of that decline?
Yeah, so historically, I mean, if you think about the even larger arc of church history, right? For 2000 plus years, women have been dedicating themselves to the gospel and lives of prayer, service, and community, and doing that in radical and countercultural ways. And that's taken on so many different forms throughout history. And so, yes, there was a peak in the 60s of our membership of the congregation that I belong to in La Crosse, but that really, has been shifting, and religious life has been shifting as time has gone on. And so
how?
Yeah, it is getting smaller. For me, it feels more like a family than an institution. We're constantly shifting and adjusting to how we share our life and how we are working together to respond to the current needs of the world. And so this requires a lot of openness and detachment and flexibility. And that's all very healthy and good, because that's what a spiritual life is made up of. It's not about attaching to something or trying to preserve something. Yeah, sure, we need to mourn and grieve the changes as they occur. And there is loss. And it's heart-wrenching for me how often I have to attend funerals of sisters that I really love and had hoped to spend my whole life with. But I should have thought through this when I entered in my 20s, that the women I was loving who were in their 70s were not going to be here for my entire profession, of my entire life as a sister. And I am privileged to receive their legacies and to try to step into their giant footprints. And I hope that I'm honoring them with the ways I say yes to God and to service.
And with that aging convent, I mean, you write that when you entered the convent, you're 24. Most of the sisters, you say, are triple your age. So what is that relationship like when there are, you know, generations of difference in your community?
Honestly, it's great. I have been so enriched since entering religious life by the experience of intergenerational community. Sharing life with women who are older than me at this stage, I could, you know, now I'm in my 40s. And so I've been living this life a while. And I would say it only has helped me to grow in wisdom, to deepen my prayer life, to have richer experiences, to have a deeper appreciation for how change happens in different sorts of ways and at different paces, because I hear the stories of what my sisters have already transformed. It gives me so much hope.
We're talking about sisters in the Catholic Church. Sister Julia Walsh is out with a new memoir and member of the La Crosse-based Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. Sister Julia, celibacy is part of your vows. You are committed to celibacy. And, you know, you write a lot about relationships with men as you grow up in your community. How did you deal with and overcome that internal conflict of wanting a relationship and a family, wanting to have kids, but also taking the vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience?
Yeah. Oh, I would love to say that once I made the vows, the struggle stopped. But I'm a human. And I continue to remain attracted to the beauty of good people. And, you know, and so I have fallen in love before I professed vows, after I professed vows, just and each chance is an opportunity for me to refresh my commitment to Christ and to the church and to my Franciscan sisters. I know that my vocation, my identity as a Franciscan sister, has given me so much life and joy and freedom. And this lifestyle fits me. It suits me very well. And it's helping my spirit to be fully alive. So although it probably would have been a lot of fun to date and get married and have kids, I don't think it would have been the best lifestyle for me. So I am trying to trust in the long range wisdom of God and how God knows what's best for me better than I know for myself when I might be having flirtations with other distractions.
Is the vow of chastity, do you think, holding back women from entering the sisterhood?
I actually doubt it, because I saw a statistic the other day that there's more women now who are single than there are in committed relationships. I think in today's world, many women know their strength and independence, you know, separate from a committed relationship. And that's healthy and good. We ought to come to know ourselves and our strength in each lifestyle that we're in, right? So I don't think the vow of celibacy necessarily gets in the way of women committing to religious life nowadays. I think it's probably more about the fact that there's so many options and lifestyles that women can choose from. And it takes a special type of call and person to commit to this radical lifestyle where they're giving, we're called, as a sister, I'm called to give my whole body to God and to do whatever God and community wants me to do with my life and my gifts, right? And to own nothing, to possess nothing. These detachments requires a certain type of spiritual maturity that it might not be promoted necessarily by the common culture that people encounter. So it requires that people are doing some real soul searching to make this choice.
And you have to pitch this radical lifestyle, and pitch might not be the right word, but you are part of the congregation's formation team, and you're helping women who are interested in joining the convent. What are some questions that come up? What do they ask you?
It's interesting. Every woman is different, and they're exploring different reservations, or they have a different level of eagerness. And I, as a minister of discerners, I'm really hoping to help women explore their deepest motives. And hopefully, as we determine what's really drawing them into the lifestyle, into the convent, into this communal, prayerful life of service, they gain a greater sense of who they are and who God is, and they come to clarity about like how they are going to fit there and if there's actually going to be belonging there for them among us or among other congregations of sisters. So it's really, I feel like discernment of religious life is a great journey of exploration and discovery. It's not about application. It's not a like give me the paperwork and let me fill it in. You know?
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, how do you advise women when you think it wouldn't be a good fit for them?
I'm oftentimes encouraging them to find other ways to experience lives of community and prayer. I'm often encouraging people to, whether they're interested in sisterhood or not, I'm pretty much encouraging everyone to have a spiritual director. You know, many of the retreat centers in Wisconsin, such as the Franciscan Spirituality Center in La Crosse, have full-time spiritual directors on staff, people who are trained to listen non-judgmentally and offer confidence as people are exploring these questions of identity and meaning and purpose, these very human questions that everyone ought to explore so they gain great spiritual health, and can become more established in their own identity and content in the choices that they're making in their life.
Amid this identity and finding oneself, I mean, the Catholic Church has rigid roles for men and women. How do you grapple with that and characterize the different roles that priests and sisters have in the Catholic Church?
Yeah, it's a complex and messy institution, the Catholic Church. I think it really helps me to love the Church by knowing that she is a movement of people who have been working together throughout the ages to try to be responsive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And the Holy Spirit, as Scripture tells us, is always making us anew. So as we gain more information and insights about humanity, I trust that the Holy Church will discern well and shift and adapt to the needs of the world as we gain more information about who people are and how they operate. And I'm fortunate that I've studied enough church history that, you know, and have enough knowledge that I can see how that's happened in the past. And that gives me hope for the future.
Sister Julia, before we go, the Adoration Chapel on the grounds of the convent in La Crosse, and sisters have prayed there every day around the clock since 1878, you know, nearly 150 years. Have those prayers made a difference in the world?
Oh, I think so. I had goosebumps while you asked me that question. I can trust that God is listening and responding. When I am in our Adoration Chapel in La Crosse, I know our God as a powerful, strong, and silent love who is gentle and holds all the pain and is with us in our suffering. That's my experience in my own life, but it also helps me to know that I can put all my cares and concerns on that altar and trust Christ to hold that suffering. I can say in my own life, the prayer has made a great difference in the lives of many people. I think there's other testimonies out there. Prayer makes a difference because prayer is sending positive love into the world, and that's contributing to healing.
Sister Julia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Peace and all good.
Sister Julia Walsh is a member of the La Crosse-based Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. Her new spiritual memoir, it is called For Love of the Broken Body. And for disclosure, the Franciscan Spirituality Center is a business sponsor of WPR.